In Philippians chapter 4, we see at the conclusion of this chapter that we are to rejoice in God's provision. Everyone in this room that is a Christian knows of the fact that at times we come short. And that is, we come short sometimes in the area of finance. Anybody ever been here in a pinch before? Things are really tight, and you don't know how you're going to make it through. But I want you to know there's a God who looks down and knows what your need is. And He's concerned about that need and is desirous to meet that need. And so we conclude here at the end of this chapter, starting at verse 10, the last section of rejoicing, and that is rejoice in God's provision. And I say that in this world today that we live in, there are many concerns. We're hearing that Social Security is going to dry up, and I just heard yesterday someone was telling me that Medicare may die this year, and all those things. And we know this, that the health insurance through our government hasn't worked out so good, and it has cost us. We haven't saved $2,500. We've had to pay a lot more. And so there are all kinds of concerns, and we're wondering, well, what happens in the future if my salary is lowered, and if I can't pay for health care, what's going to happen to my family? A lot of concerns. But let me tell you right off the bat, and that is this morning as we enter into this message, God can provide. God knows what the future holds. And our God is able to supply all of our need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? So let's all stand. And I'm just going to have you read one verse with me. This is for every Christian that is here. Now, if you're not saved, this isn't for you. But you can make it for you today by trusting in the Lord as your personal Savior. Amen? With me, the 13th verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You believe that?
Amen.
If you do, if you really do, God has promised that He will meet your need. Now, there's some things we're going to be looking at that maybe hold back His hand of blessing and giving. Because sometimes the greatest way God has of getting our attention is putting us through some financial difficulties so that we have to trust in Him. Amen? And so let's learn some lessons through this wonderful Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that we can do all things through our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And He does strengthen us, and just knowing that He's with us strengthens us. So bless now this opportunity we have, Lord, to just focus our attention on rejoicing in Your provision. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In Timothy, we see a dedicated servant who was with the Apostle Paul, and as the Apostle Paul was provided for, Timothy was provided for as well. But now in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, the Word of God says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly." And now, at the last, "your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." The apostle starts, first of all, in this area, number one, rejoicing in God's providential provision through his people. The Philippian church was not necessarily the greatest church as far as wealth is concerned. Probably the Corinthian church, which was the most carnal of all churches, had the most money. And yet, we'll mention a little bit later that the Corinthian church was the church that made Paul make tents along with Aquila and Priscilla to make a living so that he might preach the gospel. But here we find out this church had a unique relationship with this great servant of the Lord. And when it says, I rejoice in the Lord that now at the last your care of me hath flourished. The care that it is talking about is the financial concern, and we'll see this as we get into the chapter. And the idea of flourishing relates to the phrase that we'll read later on, not in verse 17, not that I desire a gift, but fruit that may abound to your account. In essence, the fruit was the fruit of souls being saved. We know this, that the Apostle Paul's mission wherever he went, even in prison, was to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And look down to verse 22 real quickly, 4:22. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are in Caesar's household. Now what does that say to you? Number one, it's talking about all the saints greet you. And then it goes on to say, those in Caesar's household. Who do you suppose led those in Caesar's household to the Lord? The Apostle Paul. He may have been chained to one of the Praetorian Guard 24/7. But he wasn't chained as far as his ministry in reaching souls for Christ. And so the watch care of this church was the watch care of knowing the needs of Paul. And even while he's in prison, I don't know exactly if they upped the meal or what they did, but I know this. And perhaps it was they just gave to the need of Paul and in some areas so that he might stick it in the hand of some servant of the Lord to go to some particular area and preach the gospel. And I can't help but to think that that is what it is for. And so we start out by rejoicing in the fact that the church at Philippi knew Paul's need. They took up an offering to meet the need. And that offering flourished from the standpoint that Caesar's household, many individuals, I believe in Caesar's household, all those individuals around him, trusted in Christ as personal Savior. That's what it says to the saints in Caesar's household. And so, rejoice in God's providential provision through his people. And that is, God providentially encourages his servants to, when in financial need. God providentially encouraging his servants when in financial need. And that is through the giving of other people. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I have been blessed over the course of our 40 years of ministry with God's people being kind and generous and meeting the needs of this pastor, his wife, and my family. And there were some times that it wasn't easy when we went out to church planning. We went out and not soliciting any help from anyone. I would, as at a crisis stage in my life, I didn't know exactly what God wanted me to do. I thought it might be camp work. I considered a lot of other things, perhaps a Christian school teacher or, you know, whatever God had me to do. And I was a youth pastor, and while a youth pastor, I came at a crisis time. Matter of fact, I got a hold. Tom Farrell was working up at the Wilds, and so I beelined it up there, and I told him my heart, and I said, you know something? I really believe this. I believe that I want to see that God wants me in the ministry, not just man. And everybody said, oh, you know, you love people and you this and that, and you ought to be in the ministry. But I believe that God calls men to the ministry, not man. Now, man does approve. There's no doubt about it. And so I talk with my wife. And I thank God for a good wife that is able to follow her husband when he doesn't even know what he's going to be doing. I just know that God had called me to labor for him. And so I said, the only way that I know that I'm supposed to be in the ministry is to go out, and boy, I tell you what, you talk about, I would not recommend this to everybody, but I'm just going to go out and plant a church, and I'm not going to ask for any church's help. I'm just going to go out and plant a church. I'll get a job, had a job lined up, and we'll just plant a church. And Lord, if you call me, if you have called me to ministry, then you're going to take care of me. And if you haven't called me to ministry, I'll go back into architectural engineering, or I'll do something else. I'll be a godly deacon, and praise the Lord for godly deacons, amen. But I wanted to tell God what I was going to do. I wanted him to tell me. And you talk about provision. We were there for 11 years, planted a church. And I'm telling you what, I could tell stories for hours of miraculous provision. But there are some times we had, for the first 11 years of our ministry, we had no health insurance whatsoever. And we were better in health. We didn't start getting sick until we got health insurance. Isn't that amazing? And but there were some times our salary was $11,000 a year, and my wife didn't work. And so we were, so to speak, on a wing and a prayer. And oh, I tell you, there's some times we didn't let down. I remember I got called up on the phone by a dear pastor friend, and who was actually administrator of a Christian school. And he was going through a tough time. His wife had left him and didn't know what he was going to do. And so he just said, my son and I need a reprieve. Could we go and spend the weekend with you? And without talking to my dear wife, I said, sure, come on over. And then she took me to the cupboard and said, this is what we've got to feed this couple that's going to, or this man and his son as he comes in. And I said, oh, I've done that several times. I remember one time we invited a guy. He ended up with us for 2 weeks. And my wife said, well, we don't have anything. Matter of fact, we're going to have to make pancakes with water. And I'll tell you what God did that week. I cut grass, and I was making right at, back then, $25 an hour cutting grass, because God gave me a bunch of jobs. And so this, and we believe it was an angel, a Korean fella, stayed with us. And we thought it was an angel because we'd have devotions every night, and his eyes would light out and he would start expounding upon what we were talking about. And our mouths were wide open. We were just amazed. And so anyway, I had him work with me. And I say it was an angel because he didn't know how to cut grass. I had to teach a guy how to cut grass. And if it was an angel, man, I'll tell you what, that's one of the duties that he was not expecting. But during that time, God gave me, I mean, he just gave me an abundance of jobs and provided for us. And I had him work with me, and I was able to pay him a good wage. And then he left. And he was just traveling through. And we took him to the bus depot, and he was traveling throughout the United States, blessing people like us, I guess. And behind our lamp was a note. Thank you for your love and for your care of me. And he put every penny that I had given him in that envelope. Getting back to the guy that came to on the weekend with us, we're wondering what on earth we're going to do as far as feeding him is concerned. Hot dogs only go so far. And this is the honest truth. We didn't ask anybody to meet the need. But the next morning before they came, our front porch was covered with food. And we could give you story after story after story as far as God's provision is concerned. Those of you who have college students in there, some of you are going to have college students coming up pretty soon. And welcome to the college world. But I had no help whatsoever. And let me tell you something, God got me through. And he'll get your child through too. You'll make it. And so this church saw the financial need time and time again. They gave to meet this financial need. Why? Because God uses people to meet the needs of people. Human instruments. And then not only does God providentially encourage his servants when in financial need, but God providentially meets all the needs of his servants. You say, what do you mean, meets all the needs? Do you believe the Bible? What does verse 19 say? My God shall supply some of your needs. Is that what your Bible reads? All? Now, the problem is you may think you have needs that you don't need. And God knows that. He does not scratch at his head. Well, you know something? I better get one of my angels, one of my messengers down there fast to meet the need. Sometimes God says, well, their need is not to have their need met right away. Their need is to trust in me more. And so I'm going to delay meeting the need so that they'll have more faith, so that when they get it, they'll not only have their need met, but they'll have faith increased. Amen? My God shall supply all your need, Philippians, through Christ Jesus. If he gave his son, if God the Father gave his son, you mean to tell me that he's not going to meet our needs when he gave us the best already? Everything compared to that is secondary, isn't it? And so secondly, rejoice in the Lord with a spirit of contentment. That's what the Apostle Paul says in verse 11. Not that I speak of respect of want. Not that I'm making a clarion call for money. Help! I need money! For I've learned that whatsoever state that I am in, whatsoever in particular financial state I'm in, therewith to be content. In verse 12 he says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Now, I think it's important here to see. In verse 11 he says, I have what? For I have what? I have learned. Hey, listen, contentment doesn't come easy nor natural. It has to be learned. It has to be learned through experience. It has to be learned through sometimes you're going through the ringer. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. To rejoice. Paul and Silas in prison, beaten, unjustly treated, What did they do? They rejoiced. Well, how do you know they rejoiced? Because they sang, that's why. Amen? And it wasn't gloom, despair, and agony on me. It was Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I've learned how to rejoice when I don't have anything. And not only do I rejoice in not having anything, but I rejoice as well when I abound. And the idea of abounding is sometimes God provides for you in supernatural ways. You know, God isn't limited in His resource. 5,000 people? Okay, I need enough, Philip, Andrew, to meet the needs of 500 people. So when you break that bread, or when I break the bread and put it in the basket and you pass it out, I'm going to meet every need. But they collected 12 baskets full. Our God isn't limited to our exact need. He more than ever can meet your need in abundance. But you better be walking with the Lord. You better have the right heart. You better have the right motive. I said God's people have been generous. We lived on that salary, and God protected us, and God provided for all our needs. Like I said, it would take a long time to tell you all the stories of rejoicing that we had. One day we went out around Christmas time and found $1,000, $100 bills, put in our mailbox. And I said, "This is illegal. I'm going to report this to the post office. Using my mailbox, and we know that you're not supposed to." No, I did, and I'll tell you what, I couldn't wait to get in. I couldn't wait to get into the door, and that's when we had a hugaboo. You know, I told you about that. We all get around with. And we rejoiced in the Lord. I'm telling you what, we were crying, we were rejoicing. He uses people and He meets all of your needs. And we can say, in 40 years of ministry, He has supplied all of our needs. But when He gives in abundance, what are you supposed to do? When you're abounding, you people gave my wife and I a very generous offering when I got out of the hospital. But I tell you why you gave it. Because there was two needs of families in our that we knew of. And they needed it more than we needed it. We'll never be rich because I got a wife, and when we have a little bit extra, it's God's. And I've got a great wife that we look at each other as if to say, who's the craziest of the crew? We could stick this in the bank and tuck it away. After all, you're getting up near 70, you know, and you better have a little bit of retirement. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have retirement, but guess what? God gives to you not to hoard. But when He blesses you over the need that you have, and God says, okay, I have this need over here, are you going to do anything about it? And so we talk, and the Lord has been so good.
And so, this idea of contentment. I've learned that whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I rejoice that I have to suffer and I have to work. The Apostle Paul made tents in Corinth, the richest church in the whole known world at that time. And yet the church at Philippi sent offerings to meet the needs. We've got a few here in our church too. And I tell you what, Richard Hutton has a heart for missions. And we've got someone too that the Lord lays on our heart. You know, different individual. When you mention Edgar Fagali, Richard Hutton goes, what can we do? Because that man has been used of God in one of the greatest ways of any living missionary today. Built radio stations across the Arab world. They just started a school in Egypt and are trying to train students there. Those students that are taught in Egypt are Arab speaking, and they'll go throughout the Muslim world. He has received favor from Muslim governments that no one else in the world has. And so we have met their needs time and time again, because the Lord has laid it upon our heart. We know the work, we know the labor, we know the investment. And so not only we rejoice in contentment whether we are abased or whether we're bound, and that is, we are to be content no matter what our state. Whether we're abased or whether we're abound, we abound. Acts 20:35 says, "And I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive." Amen. And so, being content no matter what state you are in, and as well, Christians can make it in any circumstance with the Lord's help. Amen? I'm not alone, and neither are you if you're a Christian. Amen? If you're a Christian, you're kind of on your own, but today you can switch it, because when you join God's family, God takes good care of his people. Amen? Sometimes your need is not met because you don't pray. John 4:2, you have not because you ask. Sometimes your needs are not met because you pray wrong. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Shouldn't pray for a Cadillac, pray for a Chevy. Or even worse, pray for a Ford. No. Don't worry, Pastor David. We'll pray that it keeps on running. My God shall supply all your needs. Don't pray to win the lottery. Quit giving to the lottery and give. Start giving to the Lord. Amen? Sometimes you don't pray to the one who has unlimited resource to meet the need, and other times when you pray foolishly, selfishly. And God, in love for you, doesn't give you. He doesn't let you win the lottery, because you realize all the lives that have been destroyed by the lottery. There was a guy at that time in West Virginia that won the lottery. He was already a millionaire. I mean, why couldn't God give it to someone poor, I guess, huh? Well, I don't think God's much in the lottery, by the way. But I tell you what happened. What happened is that man's granddaughter was murdered within a year period of time of him winning the lottery, and his wife divorced him. I'd give the money back, wouldn't you? And not only does sometimes God not help because we don't pray and sometimes we ask amiss, but God can more than meet our need if we'll simply trust in Him. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us." And then finally, God wants us to rejoice in His provision during times of affliction. God wants us to rejoice in His provision during times of affliction. And that's what the Apostle Paul says very clearly. In verse 14, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." What was his affliction? His affliction was he was in jail. And he didn't have the freedom to go out and spread the gospel. He just had to spread the gospel where he was. And boy, he did a mighty effective job, didn't he? And so rejoice in God's provision during times of affliction. Paul's affliction was through his imprisonment. And I think of Adoniram Judson when he was in prison, beaten severely, hung upside down, scars covering his body. And then on top of that, they didn't feed him. And so God gave his wife special favor with the mayor's wife. And she was able to bring food to him in prison, unlike anybody else that was in prison there. You know about Joseph when he was in prison, don't you? How that he was made in charge of put in charge of the prison. Sometimes you ought to read the story about present day Chuck Colson and how he in prison defamed. Man, I'm telling you what, he could have said, I don't want anything to do with God. He came to the Lord. And when he got saved, there was no turning back. So God can meet the need even if you're in prison. And then Philip, the Philippians faithfully giving throughout Paul's ministry. Verse 15, continuing, "You communicated in my affliction." Verse 14, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel," and that is when I preached the gospel at Philippi, "and the Philippian jailer got saved, and Lydia's household got saved, and many great conversions took place. When I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, another rich area, ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Not just what he thought his needs was, of the necessity. Necessity. And he goes on to say, "Not that I desire a gift." Remember this, because he says, "I've learned whatsoever state therewith to be content." I didn't desire a gift. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now listen very carefully. There are a number of ways of reaching souls, and I don't want to take our responsibility away from us. You can reach souls by spreading the gospel, and everybody in this room ought to be spreading the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Every one of us ought to be spreading the gospel. But there's another way that we can have fruit in heaven, and that is we can give to missions. That's what Paul was. He was a missionary. The Apostle Paul says, not that I desire a gift to meet my own personal needs so I could build a nice house and have a nice car and just have all the luxuries of life. But I want it so that I can spread the gospel. If I don't have to work, that'll be wonderful because more opportunity to spread the gospel. You look at all the thousands of miles that Paul traveled in his missionary journeys. And you tell me he wasn't a pretty fit man. Wouldn't it not be terrible to look into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ and for him to say to you, he already knows the answer, how was your witnessing for me? Did you ever lead anybody to me? And for you to say, well, Lord, I was just busy. Oh, I was so busy. God, you told me to take care of my family. And boy, I tell you what, I jumped in on that and I took care of my family and I'm God, I want you to know there's no better father or no better mother than my wife and meeting the needs of our family. And then the Lord's going to say, you know something? Can I ask you another question? Did you ever give to missions? Well, Lord, I just had a tough time making my tithe, you know. And the electric bill came in, and I maintained my testimony, Lord. I paid the electrical bill, and I paid the water bill, and I made sure I paid the car bill. God, when it was all said and done, I just didn't have enough to give to missions. Let me tell you something. Every man and woman and child is responsible as much as possible to give to missions. Because Paul says, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And the fruit that he talks about is the fruit of souls. Amen? I simply ask you this question. How much do you love the souls of men and women and children? Do you give so that souls can be saved throughout the nations of this world? Because one day you're going to have to look into the eyes of the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, no, I never gave. Every once in a while I tithed. You know, I did my best. You did? No, you didn't. You're lying. You're lying. What are you going to have when you get home? Hey, listen. This is not going to be there. This is not going to be there. These are not going to be there. I'm not going to be able to take any of my furniture with me. I have to leave my car back. I'll leave the keys on the counter. Keys to the house, too. They can have everything when I'm gone. Because everything I need is up there. Amen. But you know something that will be up there? Number one, our treasure is going to be up there. Number two, souls are going to be up there. Do you have anybody you're going to be able to greet that going to run up to you and say, good to see you, Alex. You won me to the Lord and I'm here because you witnessed. Anybody going to come running up to you and say, thank you. Thank you. Or are going to be no souls won to the Lord or very few and no giving to missions, which is for the purpose of reaching souls. And when we stop giving to missions, America is gone. Are you giving? Are you giving toward the reaching of lost souls? Do you think that's a sin if you don't? For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? And so when we give money to missionaries and they win souls, that goes to our account, Paul says, right? Fruit that may abound to your account. Philippians, every soul that I win is a soul that you helped to win. Amen? Hallelujah to missions. Amen? Amen? Paul's desire, first of all, is Philippians faithfully giving throughout Paul's ministry, all throughout. And see, desiring, Paul's desire bringing reward to the Philippians. That is, Paul's chief desire was not financial prosperity. Paul's chief desire was the salvation of souls to their account. Paul witnessed in all places, it says in Philippians 1:13, and the Apostle Paul, as we read in Philippians 4:22, is Paul witnessed to Caesar's household. And then Paul's commendation to the Philippians for their gift, and he says, this gift that you have given me is a precious gift. It's wonderful. In verse 18, for I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. He said, that gift was an odor of sweet-smelling savor. It was a savor to me, and it was a savor to heaven itself, to God. Not only was it a sweet-smelling savor to Paul and God, but it was a sacrifice acceptable unto God, and it was a gift that was well-pleasing to God. God loves giving, amen? And then the Philippians' reward for their right motive in giving. The right motive is that souls might be saved. Giving out the love of God's, a love for God's servant and the salvation of souls. They loved him and they were going to meet his need because they did love him, just like we love Edgar Fregali and I love other missionaries that we have the privilege of participating in giving too. And God expects us to give without expecting anything in return. And all these guys that get on the radio said, now you just give a certain amount of money to me and God will bless you. I'll pray over your little prayer list. I'll send you a hanky. You can wave it. And God will answer your prayer. And if you give to me, God will bless you financially. You never hear Apostle Paul saying that. He said, you give to me not so that you'll be blessed. You give to me so that souls might be saved. Amen? Amen. Giving out of love for God's servant and the salvation of soul. Giving without any expecting anything in return from God or man. And then giving that God blesses. 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God can meet your need, whatever it is. Whatever is going to make you better serve him, he'll give you. And so as we bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment, Can I ask you a few questions? First of all, do you know if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? And you can give me a scriptural reason. Would you just raise your hand? I know that I'm saved. Praise God. There's some that you couldn't raise your hand. And how many would say, I understand, or I'm confused as to whether or not I'm saved. And I need to have the confusion removed, or you just simply say, I need the Lord as my personal Savior. I've been trying to make it by myself and try to meet my own needs, and I'm just not doing such a good job. I need God's help. You receive that help when you get saved. Then He'll adjust your thinking so you ask for the right things. But if you're not saved and you can't give me a Bible reason why, would you just raise your hand and say, pray for me, by uplifted hand. Pray for me. Pray for me. Can I ask you a number of other questions? Number one, are you a content person? Are you a content person? 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Are you jealous of others because what they have and what you don't have? Do you covet? Exodus 20:17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Are you jealous because you don't have what other people have? And where is your treasure laid up? Is it laid up in heaven or on earth? Proverbs 23:4 says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. John 6:27 says, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man giveth unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And then, are you giving to missions for the salvation of souls? Are you giving to missions? And if not, I just trust that you'll understand your responsibility before God to help laborers in the fields across this world to reach souls for Christ. And you'll partner in Grace Baptist Church for sending out missionaries. Everyone standing to your feet, if you would, please. 816 in your hymn book. If you're not saved, you couldn't raise your hand. We invite you to come. We have men and women that are ready to show you in Scripture how you can be saved. And then maybe the Lord has dealt with your heart and say, Lord, I ask your forgiveness. I have not been a contented individual. I haven't trusted in you, knowing that you're the only one that can really meet all my needs. No man can. Maybe the Lord said to you, you know something? You're not giving to missions. It's about time you started, so that you'll have fruit in heaven one day toward your account, because you allowed laborers to stay on the mission field. Maybe some other needs in your life that you're away from the Lord, we invite you to come. As we sing the invitation hymn, please come.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. After thy will.